2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake, he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. As always, I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Today I have with me a man full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom. It is Bob Walther. Thanks for being with us, Bob.
Thanks for inviting me, Bryce.
And today we're talking about a wonderful subject, actually. We've been looking at 2 Corinthians 5:21 and using this verse as a sort of springboard in this quarterly focus on the gospel. So we're taking the different phrases of this verse and using that to consider aspects of the gospel. And last week, Andrew Walden was on here, and we talked about the darkest day. And it's coming from the phrase in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that says, God made him to be sin. So considering on the cross what was happening there, it was the darkest day, literally dark. But also, having considered the death of Christ, it seems appropriate, following the New Testament model, that we not neglect also the resurrection. So that's what we're talking about today. So he made him to be sin. We're kind of springboarding off of that, tying in with last week. This week, as we think of the gospel, we're thinking about what role does the resurrection have in the gospel when we think about it or when we share it with others, for example. The one comment I wanted to make before I give you a very interesting question, which I'm interested to hear what you have to say about, the one interesting comment I have to say is I think it's been said many times, and probably rightfully so, that when you read the New Testament, especially when you read a book like Acts, and there you see some of the earliest Christian preaching done by the apostles and others, it's very similar to the way we would share the gospel today, of course. But one of the most noticeable differences between the way we typically share the gospel today and the way that the apostles were sharing the gospel in the book of Acts is that there is much more of an emphasis on the resurrection in their preaching than there tends to be in ours. And just a statistical example, if you will, thinking of the very first sermon after Pentecost, literally on Pentecost when Peter is preaching, I counted it out. There's 23 verses there in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 36. That's Peter's whole sermon at Pentecost. Jesus' death features directly in two of those verses. Nine of the verses are specifically about his resurrection. Just interesting. We tend to do the opposite of that. So that leads to this question I have for you, which is, why do you think it is that when we talk about the gospel today, we tend generally to emphasize the resurrection less than they did in some of the earliest preaching in Acts?
Well, Bryce, this is one of those very simple questions with a very complex answer, I think. And I'm not sure I have the answer. But when I first read the question, I thought, first of all, well, what is the gospel? Is it John 3:16? Do we stop there? You know, the gospel literally means good news. And in one great big broad definition, I mean, it's really the whole Bible. It's not isolated to just Jesus died for your sins, receive him and be saved. There's so much more to it than that. It is also the orthopraxy, the conduct of Christians after they're saved. And so it's a great big issue. But the first thing that came to my mind was Romans 4:25, where Christ was delivered up because of our offenses, that was his death, and was raised up because of our justification. I'll talk more about that later when we get into the second question. But the specific question you ask of why do you think this is not emphasized as much, particularly as the cross, I think there's the potential for several answers to that. The first one, in my mind, is a significantly flawed understanding of the gospel. In the modern church, the gospel is frequently reduced to Jesus loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's it. That's it. Well, who wouldn't want that? And then people raise their hand, maybe get baptized into that. And a year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, they find out that Christianity is very difficult. And they may have much more, much bigger problems and more problems now than they had beforehand. So they say, well, I tried the gospel. I tried Christianity. It didn't work. Well, no, they didn't, because they did not understand the fullness of the gospel. So I think a flawed understanding could be one thing. Another possibility is just an incomplete understanding. And what I mean by that people would come to understand the significance of the cross, and they would understand the significance of them, of confessing to Christ, I am a sinner. Be my Savior. And that's all true, and probably sufficient to be saved, but it's insufficient to understand the fullness of the gospel. And when we look at the resurrection specifically, as far as the teaching of the church, I think the church does not do a good job. I am certainly not accusing you of this, Bryce, but I'm talking about the church in general. Does a relatively isolated teaching on the resurrection. It's pretty much isolated to Easter Sunday. Up from the grave he arose, and with a mighty triumph over his foes. And then the other 51 weeks of the year were off on some other subject or subjects. And don't come. We will come back to the cross frequently, but we don't come back to the resurrection as frequently. So I think there's kind of a multiplicity of answers here that ends up really relegating the resurrection to a role that is not consistent with its significance as spelled out in Scripture. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, I think so. No, I absolutely think so. And I mean, your reference there to Romans 4, as you're talking about it, that's the verse I think about as well. Because it is true, what happens on the cross when we're thinking of salvation, so much of the logic of the gospel takes place there on the cross. I mean, Christ is having our sin imputed to him, and then we're having his act of obedience, which includes his willingness to die on the cross, imputed to us. There's the hours of darkness. The Father's pleased to crush him. So much is happening there on the cross. But that Romans 4 that you quoted, interestingly, tells us that even when it comes to justification, the resurrection has some part in that. And you wish Romans 4 would say a little bit more and explain that a little more clearly, but that's...
Well, don't worry about that. 1 Corinthians has a lot more to say about it. We're going to get to that.
Yeah, okay? That's what I was going to say. That's going to be your job to take the rest of the scripture and explain that, because, again, that passage that you quoted, Romans 4, here's 24 and 25, righteousness will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses, got it, but this part, and raised for our justification. So that then leads me to the second question for you, Bob, which is, we're trying to figure out how does the resurrection fit into the gospel, fit in this case, even to our justification. And you can answer this any way you want. I thought maybe a helpful way to think of it is just to go, okay, what would have happened if Jesus had died on the cross for our sins, but then had not resurrected? How would that change anything?
Interesting. As I began studying up a little bit for this podcast, I went to 3 different Bibles and just went back to the index to see how much reference there was to the resurrection. There are between 15 and 20 New Testament references to the resurrection, which shows that there's a lot of significance there. It wouldn't get that much print by God if it weren't significant. But your question, you answered it Sunday in your sermon. I'm going to take just a slight paraphrase with what you said, I think. But I mean, I wrote it down in the bulletin as you said. So I'm pretty close to exactly what you said. And it is this: everything Christ did was necessary for our salvation. Everything. His life, his death, his resurrection. But it's even bigger than that. It's not only what he did, it's what he continues to do and what he's going to do in the future. All of those things are necessary for us. Now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And the things he's going to do in the future, we know some of it. He is going to return. And, you know, we almost see that as theoretical to some extent. But that's all going to happen. But this verse was the one that jumped out at me. There are a couple of them. But 1 Corinthians 15:17, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. This is what God says about the resurrection, not what I'm saying. I'm just telling you folks what God said. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. The death and the resurrection are inseparably connected to one another. A Jesus who did not live a perfect life, a Jesus who did not die, a Jesus who was not resurrected, a Jesus who does not reign today is a Jesus that cannot save. But in fact, Jesus did and is doing all of those things. The resurrection was a vindication of Jesus, and by extension, a vindication of us. There is that connection from what he did. He proved that he had the power, as he said, I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it back up again. And he has the power to take us back up again. And he will. That is our future. That he has the power to glorify us. We will come back, and we don't know what that's going to look like. We have ideas of it. The Bible gives us glimpses of it. But to think of that Jesus has the power to do that, but it's all a result of the resurrection. If he's not risen, the sentences against him charged would stand. If he was not resurrected, if he remained dead, he would have remained guilty. But he, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes, a mighty triumph over those who brought charges against him. What a wonderful thing. But once again, back to 1 Corinthians 15, a little more of expansion on that. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. It's all insufficient without the resurrection. Pretty sobering, isn't it, Bryce?
It is. It is. And I mean, that word that you used there earlier, vindication. Vindication. I think you're completely right about that. I mean, the resurrection is, like you said, the charges against him. How do we know those aren't true? I mean, he died a criminal's death. And certainly the Jewish leadership and anyone who's passing by would have assumed this was a bad person to be dying in this horrible way. And the Jewish people, of course, assume he's under a curse, because Leviticus says if you're hanged on a tree, you're under a curse. So who's going to say otherwise? And I think you're exactly right. The vindication of Christ, that he really was doing what anybody can say, I'm going to go die on that cross and accomplish something cosmic. Anyone can say that. But what makes it more than words? What proves that it happened? You're right. It's a vindication of everything that happened on the cross, such that if Jesus died on the cross, and then he didn't resurrect, not only would we have, I mean, it's hard to even imagine that, because not only would you not have Christ interceding for us, everything you said, he lives for us now, but it wouldn't even be proven that God had accepted the sacrifice of Christ for us. So even with our justification, depends upon the fact that God the Father was willing to credit our sins to Christ and his righteousness to us, to accomplish that there on the cross. And the resurrection, really, God raises his son from the dead as proof to everyone. Yeah. He did that.
When you made that statement in the sermon on Sunday about everything that Christ did was necessary for our salvation, it kind of rocked me back in my seat a little bit. I thought about that from the standpoint of the sovereignty of God. We say that all the time. What does that really mean? Well, it means that God has the right to rule. Now, he could have the right to rule and be a bad ruler. Mm-hmm. There are sovereigns and have been sovereigns all over the world for centuries who were bad sovereigns. But we have a perfect sovereign in God. And it is his right, and he exercises that right to tell us what's right and wrong. So, and that includes what's going to be right in the gospel. God spells out what's right in that. It's our responsibility. As you said in a sermon 2 weeks ago, you have the responsibility of preaching the sermon. We have the responsibility of conforming to it. And that is where our responsibility is, to understand and embrace these things, because they are the truth of God. Mm-hmm. And that's his right to do it this way. Think, why do you have to do it that way? Because he said that's what was right. Mm-hmm. And if it's right in God's eyes, that is what's right. And it's our responsibility to accept it as that. Mm-hmm. You know, why did it have to be this way, or why did it have to be that way? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the answer always is God is most glorified by it being done that way. And whether we like it or not, we need to learn to like it and to love it and to embrace it.
That's
including this talk on the resurrection. This is the way
it
was intended to be.
Yeah, because there are times when we might, at first, in encountering the logic of the gospel, which here includes the necessity of a resurrection, and we might at first think, well, why is that necessary? And that is such an important point. We can reason through it. Scripture gives us some reasoning. But at the end of the day, if God says it's necessary, then it's necessary. I think all of our wives would attest to the fact that our logic is not flawless.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. We just have oversights. So at some point, we just surrender to God saying a resurrection had to happen for our justification. So it had to happen.
Yeah. You know, as R.C. Sproul says about some of these difficult things, like, and particularly about the things necessary for salvation, he said, the devil knows it, but he hates it. You know, our responsibility is to know it, and not only to know it, but to love it, to embrace it.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Thank you, Bob, so much for helping us with this. You who are listening to this, maybe you haven't thought about the significance of the resurrection when it comes to your salvation. Maybe that is only an Easter Sunday thought for you. Or maybe it's something that's grown dusty and your love for the resurrection has cooled. Whatever the case in the past might be, may God help us all now to think this way.